It's been 3 weeks since Hurricane Matthew, and crews along the coasts are still cleaning up. That storm caused more than 1 million gallons of partially treated wastewater to flow into the Savannah River. And that latest spill has gotten a lot of attention. But a recent story in Georgia Health News says many environmental spills and discharges in the state are left outside of the public's eye. The U.S. Coast Guard's National Response Center reports that Georgia saw nearly 560 reported chemical and oil spills last year. How many of those did you hear about? Here to talk about why you may not have heard about them is Georgia Health News editor Andy Miller. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And also with us is Jason Alseth. He's a Chattahoochee Riverkeeper. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
So let's start first, Andy, by explaining why we don't hear about these spills even when they're in our neighborhood.
That's a very good question. I mean, the most surprising thing of the reporting of that story was the fact that no one really knew about it, whether it was the Flint Riverkeeper, whether water officials, even the airport where the accident occurred. The spokesman wasn't aware of it and didn't really have the right correct information when I asked him about it.
And you are talking about the spill into the Savannah River during the storm.
No, I'm talking about the Flint River situation, which I reported on. But yeah, we don't have a good mechanism for informing the public of spills.
How do you guys find out whether there's been a spill or not? And do you sometimes find out well after it's occurred, Jason?
We find out through a variety of ways, whether it be from a government agency or an industry. And in some cases, we actually find out from the residents downstream that smelled a chemical or saw something in a creek and then had to notify us versus the industry or government agency notifying them.
So, Andy, when people report something, first of all, are they required to report a spill to the Coast Guard or another official agency when a spill occurs?
My understanding is the general rule is anything over 25 gallons of pollution, they have to report to the National Response Center and to EPD. And in, you know, in many cases, I think that indeed incurs. But where it falls down is who else is informed, whether it's the public or whether it's people, whether it's municipalities that are drawing water off a particular river.
So when it goes to the National Response Center, then where does that information go?
I think it just stays there.
It just goes nowhere.
By and large, yeah. The media often doesn't report these things, and often it becomes something that's apparent by the community. The community notices it, and that way it gets some attention sometimes.
Jason, how serious are some of these spills? Maybe they're not just not letting the public know about things if they're not a danger to public health.
Yeah, we see a variety of different situations that are created by these spills. One example was in August where we had a chemical spill in Smyrna, and people woke up on a Saturday morning with headaches and running eyes inside their houses because of a spill that happened upstream and went into their neighborhood.
What was the chemical that was spilled?
It was about 2,300 gallons of a carburetor cleaner, which is pretty nasty stuff and stuff you certainly don't want flowing through your neighborhood.
So, okay, Andy, I assume, and maybe I'm being naive, that at some point, if there's any danger at all to my health or my kid's health, that someone's going to notify me. Is there a mechanism in place for that to happen efficiently?
I don't see that happening. I mean, public health and EPD really don't talk, or there's no real intersection between the two. And I think a case like that or a case back more than 10 years ago where there was a big de-icer spill at Atlanta Airport, and it was the community that noticed that their drinking water had a stinking smell. And that's how that whole spill kind of erupted in the public eye. So it's kind of, I hate to use the word downstream, but that's what happens. A lot of times it's the community people who notice something. And then people get alarmed, and sometimes the media weighs in at that point.
The media being me and you, Andy. We wonder, well, let's throw this out to our listeners, and I wonder if you've ever had to report on something. Are you confident about the purity of your drinking water? You can tweet us at OST Talk and tell us where you get your information on things like this. My guests are Georgia Health News editor Andy Miller and Chattahoochee Riverkeeper Jason Alseth. Jason, what do you make of the state of our waters at this point? Can we be reasonably confident that they're clean and safe?
Yeah, one thing that's important to understand is that our waterways are much cleaner than they used to be. Back in the 60s and 70s, we've made huge amounts of progress in cleaning up our waterways, reducing the number of spills, but we still have problems, and we're still seeing issues that we shouldn't see anymore today.
Give me an example of a problem that you've identified.
So one example would be American Seal Coat Manufacturing, a company that we received a complaint from on a citizen in 2014. And when we went to check out the complaint, we videotaped them blatantly dumping hundreds of gallons of an oily material straight into a creek. And that's something that, you know, I've been told you could see in the 50s and 60s, and that might be something that would be acceptable back then. But today, I mean, people know better. And that was a blatant, willful dumping into a creek.
Andy, who pays? Okay, let's say that at some point, for example, the de-icer at the airport, and people who are there notice that there's something wrong with their water, and they call to complain. That has to be cleaned up, right? Who pays for that?
Well, it's usually, well, in the case that I studied, the Flint River situation, what happened was the company that spilled the jet fuel cleaned it up, and the state and the EPA helped supervise that cleanup. But my main point is this is our most precious resource, and I think that in terms of drinking water, and I think that we as a government and also these companies really have to, you know, get after it in terms of cleanup.
But wait, are there no other ramifications? All once a spill is reported, they just pay for the cleanup, and there's no penalty for having spilled chemicals?
In the case of the Flint River situation that occurred in April, there was no penalty for the company that was responsible for the tanker spill. I'm assuming that a lot of these spills, even though they're reported, the public generally doesn't find out about them. But secondly, I think that in the case of the Flint River spill, we know that the company did clean it up. But again, there was no penalty for that company to cause that kind of problem. And I wonder how many times that EPD fines companies that pollute our waterways.
Jason, do you know the answer to that?
Well, we see that there is a huge lack of enforcement across the state. For example, that American Seal Coat Manufacturing case. This was a case where they were willfully dumping oily materials into a creek, and the state fined them $2,000. So there's no penalties out there that serve as a deterrent for other, or there's not sufficient penalties out there that would serve as a deterrent for future potential violators.
So then what do you think how can we change that? What has to change in order for that to happen? Does the law have to change, or things just have to be enforced?
The laws are on the books. Georgia has pretty strict environmental policies and laws on the books. Most of what we need is the political will at the top to take these matters more seriously.
You have the river keepers have had to go to court sometimes to get those laws enforced. Is that at this point the recourse for Georgians and for your group?
Unfortunately, sometimes that is the recourse that we do take. So again, in that example where the state EPD fined that company $2,000, we saw that as grossly inadequate, and we took the company to federal court ourselves.
Yeah, in 2014.
Correct, and that ran over into last year, where we got a $10 million judgment against that company, because that's how serious these matters can be.
Okay, so Andy, you had other surprises in your reporting. What were they?
Well, the media, a spill like the one I covered, basically went uncovered until we started talking about, we reported it. The Flint River keeper wasn't aware of it. The airport spokesman wasn't aware of it to the degree that it happened. There were counties that draw drinking water off the upper Flint, and even though they didn't have an intake on the Flint River going at that time, they weren't aware of it, at least one of them, Fayette County. So basically, I was surprised at the lack of public notice of counties, of public health officials, and basically of the media not reporting anything about it.
We've got about a minute left. Andy, do you think that state agencies make the connection, the strong connection between it spills like this and health?
I don't think that that's happening. And I think in the wake of the Flint, Michigan lead problem, I think that the public is much more aware of drinking water quality. And I think that that connection definitely needs to be made.
What do you think, Jason? Do you, in your dealings with the state, do you feel like they've made this connection between people's personal health and the quality of the environment?
In some cases, yes, but in others, no. This recent carburetor cleaner spill, the emergency response initially from the state was very strong, and it was impressive. But they left pretty shortly thereafter, and we're still seeing chemicals in this creek. And we don't have this method or policy
mechanism
to get this fully restored and cleaned up to protect that neighborhood and public health.
That is Georgia Health News editor Andy Miller. You just heard the voice of Chattahoochee Riverkeeper Jason Alseth. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.